Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
May is all about the mamas. I felt like moms were superheroes before I had kids, but baby, now that I am on the other side of motherhood and have seen it for myself, I am here to tell you that mothers deserve so much more than a day. So the least that we could do here at Girl Stop Playing was celebrate moms all month long. Now, ever since my very first podcast, Confessions of a Workaholic, I have literally had the opportunity to interview and connect and share the stories of hundreds of amazing, phenomenal women, many of who are also moms. And to be able to balance, and I don't mean balance as in giving equal attention to, but literally like a balancing act mentally, physically, emotionally, to balance life, motherhood, marriage, and then try to have your mental health together. Like, it's a lot. So I want to spend this month celebrating the women who are doing it all. So I'll be dropping some bonus episodes throughout this month, some of my favorite episodes of some phenomenal women who you can certainly learn from. Let's go ahead and tap into a spotlight episode on a bad mama jamma.
I'm your favorite homegirl, Coryell, here to encourage you to stop playing with your potential and start working for what you want in life and in love. Y'all already know that I believe you can make the money and you can get the honey. You can have it all as long as you are willing to work. And I have the honor and the pleasure of introducing y'all every single week to workaholics who are doing the damn thing. And today is no different. We're about to get into another amazing episode, which happens to be sponsored by Work University, the first Black woman-owned, it's me, I'm the Black woman, y'all, the first Black woman-owned online trade school on a mission to help Black women all around the world learn how they can turn their existing skills into new streams of income. Tap in right now. You can check the link below or log on to workuniversity.com. And of course, that's work with an E. Speaking of work, we got a real working woman in the building. My girl, Alicia Reese. Welcome to the studio.
What's up?
So I didn't even attempt to put a bio or an intro here for you because you are like the definition of multifaceted. You do all the things. I was trying to explain to somebody what you do, and I was like, it's just, she does it all. She does it all. So introduce yourself how you want the people to know you.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Alicia Reese. I am like warm tea and Hennessy. I am a transformation coach, international speaker, and overall strategist. I just get it done.
She gets shit done.
Get it done.
You get it done. So I want to talk about, because I don't know the answer to this. A lot of times I already know the answers before I ask the question. But what was your first entry point into entrepreneurship?
Ooh, so I was 12 years old and I'm the oldest of four. At the time, there were three of us. No, I'm lying. There were four of us at that time. There were four of us at the time, and we were hungry. My mother had lost a child when I was eight, and awesome. When she lost a child, she lost her mind. And my father, of course, he couldn't handle it either, so he kind of checked out a bit. So my parents were on their own traumatic journeys, trying to deal with their own trauma. And there were these four kids who were trying to, like, figure out life. Like, how do we eat? How do we consistently have running water in our home? How do we make sure we have lights? Things that most kids should just not be concerned about. But because I was the oldest, I had to be concerned about it. And so what I did is I pitched one of the girls in my church, like, hey, you braid hair really well. I know you're making money from it. If you teach me how to braid hair, then you can do more heads because I can cut down the time. And so that's how I got into entrepreneurship. I started a business from her teaching me how to braid hair.
Well, first of all, I was not expecting that. Okay, 12-year-old boss. I thought I was doing something at like 14, but 12. But having to do it out of necessity, I think is...
It's a different type of trauma.
It's a different thing. And I feel like there is a lot of pressure on the oldest. I have the privilege of being the youngest, so I don't know that life. But you didn't succumb to the pressure. And you figured that thing out. So how does that translate to how old were you as an adult when you got into entrepreneurship?
So I went from 12 creating my first company to then 14 creating my next company, which is a cleaning business because braiding hair took too long. I was like, if I divide the amount of hours it's taking me by how much I'm getting paid, oh, this is not enough. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then I started cleaning houses for some of the wealthier people, or richer. They weren't wealthy at that time. But for some of the richer people in my church. And then I was like, okay, I decided to go corporate. So I worked at McDonald's as a cashier. And
not
then,
going corporate working listen. At the McDonald's. So I was corporate working at McDonald's?
Yes, that
okay,
is corporate.
I worked at corporate, y'all. Forget everything I've said. I worked at corporate.
That is corporate. Don't let nobody tell you. I don't care what you're doing.
It. I'm seriously going to tell people that.
Yeah, you should. I do. My first actual real business, though, again, trauma again, I was about to get divorced. My ex-husband gave me an ultimatum. Stay or leave. If you leave, you got to take care of things. So I was just like, well, okay then, babe. I decided I was going to start a nonprofit. Most people think that nonprofits aren't supposed to make money because it's called nonprofit. That is totally not the case. Red Cross makes millions a year. So I started a nonprofit. In our first year, we were sponsored by UPS. We were partnered with the Miami Marlins, the City of Miami Gardens. We had celebrity ambassadors. We had a dope board of directors. And that was my first like business. I don't even remember how old I was. I don't know. I had a 3-year-old, so however old I was.
You know, so I started a nonprofit, and we was actually non-profitable. So what did I do wrong? Knowing that I know you, I'm kind of being funny, but I know the answer is relationships just because I know you. How did you do that though? Tell the people.
So I am strategic as fuck. Like everything for me is a strategy, from the people I date to the types of events I go to. Everything for me is strategy. Call it what you want, feel how you want to feel about it. For me, it's a strategy. I'm not willing to connect myself to anything that doesn't make me grow. If I can't grow from it, I won't be connected to it. Sorry, not sorry. So for me, what I did is I did my research when I decided that I was going to start the nonprofit. I knew it was going to be for foster youth, for youth aging out of the foster care system, because there is a whole lot of things that they need that they just mm-hmm. don't get. And so I said, okay, well, if I can take this program, because I created a program, and I said, well, if I can take this program, I can sell it to governments, government entities, municipalities. I can sell that, and people pay millions a year for programming. And so what I did first, and which is what most people don't do, they go all in with their passion when it comes to a nonprofit, and they don't create a sellable product or service. For me, I created something that was sellable first. And then I said, okay, well, who can I connect with? Because I've never worked in the foster care system. So I need some relationships to help me collapse time, because I didn't want to spend 5-10 years building up thing. I ain't got that kind of patience. Call me what you want, but I don't have patience. And so I did some research to find out who was the largest foster care agency in the state of Florida at the time, because that's where I was living. I realized that she was a member of Junior League of Miami. Shout out to Junior League of Miami. And so I joined. You had to pay a fee, of course, but membership has its benefits. Anybody who is an Amex, you know, platinum card holder understands the benefits that come when you are a member. And so I researched who she was. I realized that I would need to get close in with her, and I needed a definite yes. I wasn't going to be able to get a definite yes without being a member, because members do things for each other. I didn't join a sorority. I didn't have, you know, a family who was super well connected. So that meant I had to be strategic as fuck as to how I was going to get what I needed. So I joined, and the day after you paid your membership and you signed a little paper, they gave you a book that had every single person's address, telephone number, and email. As soon as I got the book, she was the first person I emailed. She scheduled a meeting with me, and she said she only said yes to the meeting because I was a Junior League member. She said it was already a yes simply because I was a member. I went, got the partnership with her. I used that partnership to parlay that into a conversation with UPS. And less than a year later, we had all these partnerships.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
Okay, so Not only was I non-profitable in the nonprofit, I have been in the same room with you. And I kept my mouth closed and got nothing while you opened your mouth and closed deals. And again, the same exact thing that you just talked about, where you research who's in this room, you connect with the people, and you get what you came there for.
Yeah.
Don't direct this to me. Direct this to the people, because I'm a work in progress. Y'all pray for me. I ain't figured it out yet. I've seen her do it with my own eyeballs, and I still have not figured it out yet. But for the people out there who still have hope, what can they do when they walk into these rooms and they want to get what they came for?
Ooh. So here's the thing. Most people think it's about other people, right? It all completely starts with you. You have to get super clear on who am I? What do I do well? What value do I bring to the table? And then how can I leverage and use that value to provide what someone actually needs? Kind of like with love languages, you want to make sure that you aren't providing something for someone that they don't need or want. So if someone's love language is gifts and all you do is words of affirmation, they're going to think that you hate them because you are not speaking the language that they understand. So anytime I go into a room, I'm super clear on who I am, the value I bring to the table, and how I can effectuate change and add value. And then I shut the fuck up and listen after I've asked them, how do you show up magically in the world? I don't ask them what you do, because asking someone what you do, it immediately turns them into a commodity. And what they are thinking about is, you just want to know so you can decide how to use me or what level of respect to give to me. I don't give a shit about what you do. No disrespect in the beginning. What I want to know is,
you already know what they do, knowing you.
Generally, yes. But what I want to know is, how do you show up magically in the world? Because that's a different conversation. And you are going to remember me a month from now, because nobody asks you, how do you show up magically in the world? I mean, they might now because
they're still in your game. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's fine. Listen, free game. But after I ask them, how do they show up magically in the world? I will usually follow it up, because they're going to talk about a problem that sounds pretty difficult. How do you manage and solve some of the major problems that you're experiencing? That is when you have to tune all the way in, focus in on whatever it is they're about to say, because what you need to do from that point is start identifying, how do I take me, the solution, and the value that I hold and have, and how do I bridge the gap to provide that solution to them at a cost? What does that look like? And for me, that's literally what I do every single time.
So that's cool, but it takes confidence to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
I feel like you naturally have that confidence, but what about someone who doesn't?
Okay, y'all. So that whole natural confidence thing, because I've been hearing that a lot here lately. That is totally not the truth. I started out as a kid who, I hated every part of me. I hated my hair. I hated my toes. I hated the clothes I wore. I hated the house I lived in. I hated every part of me. There was no part of me that I liked. There was no part of me that I liked. There was no part of me that I thought had value. I literally had planned my suicide because I thought I was worth more dead to my daughter. You know, I thought I was worth more to her dead than alive. I was not born with this level of confidence. This was developed over time. Over time, I decided that I was going to stop playing with myself, and I was tired of my own bullshit. Like, either I'm going to accept that I'm going to live a mundane life where I barely make it, I'm always struggling, or I am going to figure out, what is the one thing I like about myself? What's the one thing? I literally started telling myself every day that I am powerful beyond belief. And after you tell yourself some shit long enough, you start to believe it. And so finally, I was like, I am powerful beyond belief. I don't got no money in my account. This house about to go into foreclosure. They about to repo this car. I ain't paid my student loans in I don't know how long. And yet and still, I am powerful beyond belief, because what I was speaking to is the spirit man part of me that understood and knew who I was, who I was crafted to be, and what was inside of me, even though my logical mind could not fathom that. Couldn't fathom it.
I appreciate you for sharing that, because I know that you just say, you know, you hear that all the time. It's so easy for us to see the people who we think have it all together. You got it all figured out. You're able to do all of these things that I can't do. But we all come with the sameness inside of us that we can tap into. And sometimes we got to fake it till we make it, not in the sense of being fake out here in these streets, but faking it to yourself for long enough until you start believing it. There's so many books about, you know, the fact that you got to lie to yourself until you start believing it, until you can truly do the things that you don't even realize that you can do. Absolutely. But you can. Absolutely. And so mindset, I think, is just, it's why I always talk about mindset, because people want to talk about making the money and doing the things, but if you don't have your mind right, you can get the stuff, but you're going to ruin it, you know?
Literally. You always go back to your set point. So if you believe that you don't deserve a certain type of love, if you believe you don't deserve a certain type of money, or you hate rich people, or you think that all rich people are bad, or you think that you can only have an extra $200 in your bank account after payday, you can have $10,000 and there will be some type of an emergency that comes and happens that takes $9,800 because your set point is $200. Mm-hmm. Your set point is, oh, well, men always do me wrong. That is some bullshit. I don't even subscribe. People are like, oh my God, I can't find any good men. You can keep that over there. Mm-hmm. I don't agree.
Keep that energy, please.
I do not agree. Whatever you believe for yourself is what it will be, period, point blank. And what we've got to stop doing is stop comparing your chapter 2 to somebody else's chapter 20. You're looking at my chapter 20, but you don't understand that I also had a chapter 1, a chapter 2, and in those chapter 2 and 3 and all, you know, all the way up to wherever I'm at now, whatever chapter I'm on now, there was some processing and some training and some very intentional work that I was doing to ensure that I could be prepared and manage at each new level. Because I don't subscribe to the belief for every new level, there's a new devil. Why would I agree to that? I am not agreeing to things that I don't want to materialize. So for me, it's for every new level, it will require a different version of who I am. Mm-hmm. It will require me to tap and go deeper so that I can achieve and reach and be my highest self. But to get that, you got to figure out, who am I first? Without my title, without my role, without my responsibility, who am I? Who am I?
So how do you not fall into the fake networking thing that so many people fall into? Because you actually create meaningful relationships that a lot of times turn into profitable relationships. How are you able to navigate that and not just turn it into like a passing the business card out, fake, phony,
yeah,
I met you, but I don't know you, I can't take nothing from this type of thing?
So for me, I actually give a shit. When I ask them how do they show up in the world, I genuinely care. Like, I actually want to know. It's not just because, oh, you can get me this opportunity later. I put that on the back burner because I understand no matter what, because I bring value to the table, there's always going to be something that I can do with them, some way that I can serve them, some way that honestly they too can serve me, because it's a symbiotic relationship. There is the universal law is giving and receiving. So I have no problem giving because I understand by universal law, I will also be given unto. So it's giving and receiving. So when I ask them how you show up magically in the world, it's because A, I give a shit, number one. And B, I want to know, who are you as a human? Like, what's your character like? What are some of the challenges that you face? Because I don't care how high the title is, from the CEO to the janitor, they are all humans having a human experience. And there is something that we can connect on. And so when I ask, or when I go in there and I'm speaking, I want to know, who are you as a human? And most people, especially if they're executive level, they're used to people asking them, what do you do and how can I get something from you? So because I never go with the how I can get something from you first, I'm always welcomed differently because I care about them, the person, before them, the title. Mm. Always.
Even though you walk into this space knowing their title.
I'm clear on the, I'm usually very clear. And even when I don't know who's in the room, I still will sit and talk to people to find out, what's your story? Like, who are you? What challenges are you facing? And I'm always asking about your challenges, because if I'm clear on what your challenges are, then I can provide solutions. But that requires listening, active listening.
That's hard.
It is, especially because I got ADD, like in real life.
I'll be tapping out. When you're like, and this is when you have to, I'm glad you said that, because then that gives me something to focus on. It's like, no, right now you really need to listen. Because, and it's not just me, we're easily distracted. We got 25, I can't even count right now how many tabs I got open on this computer.
So many.
On our phone, like all of the things, we always have something to tap into. And so it's very easy to tap out of a conversation, which brings me to post-conversation, post-event, the power of the follow-up. Like, that is so important. But my question is, how do you follow up without being thirsty?
Ha. So it's so funny.
Or feeling thirsty.
Feeling thirsty. So it's so funny. So I literally, as you know, I have a podcast called Triggered AF. And just yesterday, and it's crazy that you literally asked it like that, because just yesterday, that is one of our next episodes, the follow-up for season 5. But how you do it and what that follow-up looks like is when you're asking them, and this is why you have to immediately zone in and pay attention. When you're asking them, like, what are your problems that you're facing? What you're doing is you are also coming up with, how can I send them a solution to that problem that doesn't require anything from me, right? Example.
I was going to say, give us an example.
An example. So I was at your event, the dope live podcast recording of Girl Stop Playing Podcast.
Girl, thanks for plugging it, because I forgot, y'all, we had a dope live podcast last night. If you missed it, you missed out on a treat. Stay tuned for the next one.
Listen, don't miss the next one. You need to make sure you are in the building. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
And we were there last night, and I met a young lady who has done some phenomenal, I mean, built something dope. And she was saying how next she wants to expand, but she doesn't want to use her own money. So I was like, okay, bet, you ain't said nothing but a word. I'm really connected in the VC space.
I want to expand some things that I don't want to use my own money.
I got you. We're going to have a conversation. Okay. We're going to have a conversation. And so what I did is today I said, hey, I have a list for you, because we had talked about a specific company. I said, hey, I have a list for you of who their investors were. And then I'm going to connect you with a friend of mine who has one of their investors already on her cap table. I simply provided a solution. That is how I follow up. And I always usually follow up with a solution. If they have kids, hey, if y'all got kids, please don't think your kids are, you know, inhibitors to your success. My baby gets me into so much. If you have kids, I always tell them, oh my goodness, if their child was experiencing something, or they are having a challenge with something, or heck, they just want some old play dates to go out. I love a good play date. Where are we going and when are we going? My daughter is going to be one of the most well-connected little teenagers, because I'm always taking my good sis on play dates with all the folks. But for me, it's when I'm following up, I'm providing a solution to what they said was their problem. And I didn't have to do, it literally took me 5 minutes to Google who was this particular company's investors. And then I noticed that, okay, this particular investor also invested in a product that a friend of mine had, so I can easily make that connection. And now what I have done is I have just turned myself into an asset. Mm-hmm. And so in a world full of liabilities, your goal is to be an asset. You become an asset by always and consistently providing solutions for folks.
So what's your next move? In that relationship, because in a perfect world, y'all have established a connection. Mm-hmm. She's very appreciative of this connection, right? And then y'all naturally do something.
Yeah.
In an imperfect world, you establish a connection. She gets busy doing the thing. And then 5 months go by, 3 months go by. What do you do next?
So I don't let 5 or 3 months go by.
Okay.
Right? Max I'm gonna let go by is a month, right?
Okay.
Oh my goodness, I saw
you
that
got
you
a reminder
busy
in your phone or something?
No, I just
care about these people, so you know.
I mean, I genuinely care. And sometimes I will set a reminder, it takes 2 seconds to set a calendar alert. Email so-and-so.
Wow.
Set it for 3 weeks later.
Being intentional, it'll take you far.
I told you, I'm strategic and intentional as fuck.
You said that.
Like, it's a real thing for me.
You said that.
And so, and two, people want to know that you care about them, right? So if I notice that you didn't respond to my message about the solution that I'm providing for you, I will second inquiry, colon, whatever that first subject line was, send it, hey, love, wanted to make sure that you got, you know, the information below. Let me know once you've received it. Super excited to stay connected. Mm-hmm. That's usually done 2-3 max a month afterwards. They read it, they get it. Oh my goodness, this is so great. Then it's, oh, I also would love to meet for coffee or lunch, or let's grab drinks. Let's do something so we can hang out. And then when we hang out, I don't talk business. The first time we hang out, I'm not talking business. What? I'm not a businesswoman the first time we hang out. The first time we hang out, I'm a human. I'm Alicia. And I'm a damn good time.
You are a damn good time.
Listen, we finna have a time.
She's not lying.
I'm a twerk. I'm a drink. We're gonna have fun. For those who don't drink, okay, get you a little spritzer, whatever it is. If you haven't tapped into your joy, find you some joy so that you can have fun with the folks. Because people want to know that, again, you care more just about their title or what they can do for you. Can they have fun with you? Can y'all have some laughs together? Figure out, just ask, hey, what do you like to do? I want to make sure that we have a good time. If drinks and dinner isn't your thing, let's go putt-putt. Let's take the kids to Candytopia. One of my, and she's a new friend, and it felt so good because she called me her soul sister, and I was like, oh my God. We took our kids to Candytopia together, and we had a great time taking pictures, getting all the little crap in our hair. It's still in my purse and in my shoes. Like a month later, but it's how do you create an experience for people that's focused on living, that's focused on life, that's focused on fun, that's focused on joy. Their jobs and their companies are stressful enough. When I'm in the vicinity, oh, we finna have some fun.
I love it. And I just love you. And that's why she said you have soul sisters, because it's just like, oh, I need some of this.
I just want, let's have fun together. We're going to always work. We're going to always get to the money, because I like money and money likes me. But let's have fun together first.
Let's talk about the opposite of fun, motherhood, because we were talking about this last night and it wasn't even me and you. It was you and another one of my amazing guests, Carly, who is a whole comedian. One day y'all gonna see the footage, and she's a whole comedian, and you gotta watch it. But y'all were having a conversation that I was kind of third wheeling, and y'all were like, I think it was you specifically was like, I don't like motherhood, and I was like, you are a mother.
I'm a whole
you
mother.
You can't say that. I'm a new mom, so I still be like, ooh, tiptoeing. Mm-mm. I won't say that I dislike motherhood because I'm not true to this. I'm new to this. What do you mean by that, though, Alicia? Tell the people.
I'm not tiptoeing on the marble floors. I don't like motherhood.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like the pressure. I don't like the responsibility. I don't like that I am a driver because these tiny humans can't drive. I'm an unpaid driver.
That's true.
Like, Uber drivers make more than me.
You're driving for free. No tips.
There is no guaranteed return on my investment with motherhood. You are literally hoping for the best. You are putting your absolute best in, the maximum amount of money.
You put some good into this girl, though.
Man, I'm just praying to God that she turns out all right.
And you are more than halfway there. Your baby is
She's 12. Listen, I got
You're itching.
5
you started
years
itching when
and
I
four
said
months.
That. Not 5 years and
five
4 months.
5 years and 4 months. And I love her. I love every...
She's so amazing.
She's a dope kid, and I still dislike motherhood. I don't like it.
That's what you said, so you were like, well, I don't dislike my child. I just dislike motherhood.
Oh, man, she's such a dope kid. She's brilliant. She's kind.
She's
smart. She got a slick-ass mouth. I love kids with slick mouths. A lot of adults don't. I love it.
Because when people be like, you want a girl? I'll be like, ooh.
I like a slick-mouth child.
Why?
Let me tell you why I like a slick-mouth child. I didn't have a slick mouth out loud, but it is going to be such a valuable trait when they become old enough to advocate for themselves, and they can mentally spar. My child mentally spars with grown-ass people and many times wins. They be like, well, damn, when you say it like that, I love it. Now, yes, it gets on my nerves, on my last nerve, but you're not raising a child. You're raising an adult. You will have a child a much shorter time frame than you will have an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm raising an adult. And that attribute, that slick mouth shit, ooh.
So I'm just being selfish. I'm just thinking about myself being the victim of, because I had an out loud slick mouth. It wasn't in my head. It was on the outside of my body. And so I can just imagine getting that back. You know, they say with the daughters, you're gonna get it back.
Yeah.
I am in for a rude awakening. So I guess I'm just being selfish because I'm like, I'm gonna have to fight you.
I mean, and here's the thing. We go back and forth. I'm not of the community that believes children should be seen and not heard. We be going back and forth. Like, some of my men, because I date and I date well.
Come on, some of my men. We'll talk about it next. Don't worry.
Well, some of my men, they'll be on the phone with me when I'm talking to her. And she be going back and forth. She be hitting it, too.
So
I like
you,
that.
So you never say, all right, now, little girl, wait a minute. You never get
I
to that
do
point?
I do. If she gets a little, I be like, listen, huh. We cool, but we ain't never that cool.
Okay.
Play with your
so
little friends.
So you do reel her in.
Yeah, I reel her in, but I'm okay with her expressing her emotion. She tells me all the time, I really don't like that you rush me. And I say, well, I really don't like that you take so long, because what it does is it makes me feel as though you don't respect my time. And I give you so much of my time already. I need you to start honoring the pieces that I tell you I need. If I say I need you to be ready in 10 minutes, I really do need you to be ready in 10 minutes, because there are other things that I still have to do that you are not privy to. this morning we was in the car. She's like, you know what, Ma? You right. I'm sorry. I'm gonna do my best to get ready quicker.
You're raising a
one thing about Mama, she is going to make sure that everyone else is taken care of before she even thinks about treating herself. So if you are looking for the perfect gift to make mom feel special this Mother's Day, make sure you check out the Mega Moisture Duo from Osea Malibu, because body care is self-care. Since 1996, Osea has been making clean, clinically proven, seaweed-infused skincare. So this Mother's Day, treat mom to the everyday spa experience she deserves. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GSPP at OseaMalibu.com. Plus, you'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code GSPP for 10% off.
A thinker. And not just a doer. And so many people are raising doer. Do what I said do. Mm-mm. Don't think about it. Don't ask me about it. Don't wonder why I said it. Don't you dare ask me why I said it. Just do it. And I think, like you said, that's going to come in handy in so many ways.
So many.
And I think our generation are doing a better. I mean, we doing some crazy shit now.
We still do.
But we are doing a much better job of not doing the stay in a child's place, sit down, shut up, do what I say do without question, because in life you have questions. Hopefully you're able to ask the right questions, because if you don't, people are gonna get over on you, and anybody got time to be getting over on.
And honestly, I started out that way. Shut the fuck up, do what I said, don't ask me no questions. The fuck
so
is
this
you-
is a learned thing.
This is when I tell you learn.
This is evolved, Alicia. Okay.
Lola, my lower self.
Lola.
I talk about it a lot on my podcast.
The lower self, Lola.
My lower
self.
I had to name that bitch so that I can know when it's Alicia who's talking, who's processing, who you're speaking to, and then when it's my lower self saying, just ram your car into theirs.
You don't do it though, right?
No, but I still need to recognize.
You think about it.
You have to understand your lower vibrational self. It really just wants to protect you.
Mm-hmm,
it truly does. It is the fight or flight, and everything is, oh my God, you're going to die. Your lower vibrational self is everything is, oh my God, you're going to die. So it likes to fight to the death, right? And so trying to, and that's ego, that's all the things. So trying to deny its existence or trying to pretend like, oh, it's not there. I'm vibing so high. I'm so healed. Bullshit. Trying to pretend that it's not there, what happens is if you try and push down something long enough, eventually
it's gonna come back strong.
It's gonna explode, and many times it's gonna explode when the consequence doesn't fit the crime. And so what I do is I'm always in conversation when I'm spazzing out or when I'm like losing my shit. I'll say, okay, the reason I'm spazzing out is because I feel hurt about this or I'm afraid about this. Thank you so much for trying to protect me. Now I'm going to need you to sit in the passenger seat. And now this is how Alicia is going to respond. But Lola, oh, that bitch always got a response. Always.
But mature Alicia be shutting her shit down.
Evolved.
I love that.
And it's not perfect. Ooh, please don't think it's perfect. Because baby, if you had caught me on a plane with this lady.
What you going to do to the lady? Lola was about to get her.
Oh.
I just can't. I've never personally met Lola, so I just cannot. I mean, I could see her coming out of, you know, I could see that she up in there, but I've never seen this, so I just can't imagine. Yeah. I see the soul, you my soul sister.
Listen,
Alicia,
because I vibrate on love and light.
You do.
And also it can get real real and real ratchet real quick.
That's the Hennessy.
Listen, that's the Hennessy part.
Yeah, I'm the warm tea. That's
because warm tea is mostly who I am. Like, I want to know people's feelings. I want to make sure you're okay. Like, I care, you know, what you're experiencing. And also, if you trigger me, that's literally why our podcast is called Triggered AF. Because once I'm triggered, I become something that I don't like. You know, kind of like the Hulk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How he's all nice and mild-mannered.
But boy, when he get
that other side.
Yeah. I started this conversation by saying you are one of the most multifaceted people that I knew, and I didn't even know this part. So I was right. I be knowing.
That other side is a lot.
I be knowing. I do want to talk about Triggered AF.
Yeah.
Tell us about it. What was your guiding light when you first started it? Because you said you're about to do season 5. So when you initially started it, like, what was your thought process behind it?
Man, so I have a co-host, Danny Foster. Hey, girl. So we were in the heart of the pandemic, right? And everybody was triggered. Everybody and their mama. I mean, do I wear a mask? Do I not wear a mask? Do I go to the store? Oh, my God, somebody coughed. We all gonna die. Like, it was so many triggers. Things. And then you're at home. You no longer have separation. So you have your partner who maybe you don't mind being around, you know, from 6 in the morning to, like, 8 o'clock. And then again from, like, 6:30, 7 o'clock to, like, 10, 11 when y'all go to sleep. But then to now have to be around them all day long. Do you know how many marriages and relationships? Hell, I lost a couple of relationships during the panorama.
You know, let me put that in my notes so I come back to this. All the men, because I almost forgot.
Like, there's no separation. You lost, like, your sense of boundaries, right? So all of your triggers from people being around you all the time, like, I don't like to be touched a lot. You get touched out, especially if you have a new baby. So you got a new baby and you got a man and everybody want to touch you. Like, there were so many triggers and so many things that we were dealing with. It literally, the pandemic unearthed all of our unhealed parts. All of the parts.
That's a great way to put it.
That were unhealed.
It did. It shined a light.
A whole light. It shined a whole light on all the parts and pieces of ourselves that needed to be healed. Because that's all a trigger is. A trigger just identifies, hey, this is an area, a space and place that you are not healed in, that you need to do some more work in. And if you can do the work in this area, you can go to that next level so that you can constantly be in tune and in touch with your highest self. Because you create the best type of life when you are clear on not only who you are, whose you are, but the value you bring to the table and how you want to operate in the world.
This podcast sounds therapeutic. We be on here just talking some shit, really. But you sound like this. Y'all really doing some therapeutic.
Yeah, we literally, you'd be surprised. We get DMs all the time like, hey, you guys helped me through a divorce. Hey, you guys helped me not to kill myself. Like, it because we talk about all the things that are normally taboo.
Like what? Tell us some of the things.
We have a conversation coming up, actually, a conversation with a white man. And we talk about white boys being bombers in schools and shooting people and white supremacy. Like, we have very real conversations about how triggering it is for black women to have to sometimes see counterparts who are not as good as we are get things that we not only deserve but have worked for. Like, we have very real conversations. We have conversations about things that we've done, about how Lola, when I was in college, did some pretty foul things to a young man I was dating who we broke up to. Like, we have very real conversations about, okay, this is how Lola responded, and now this is how I should respond. Mm. Like, what to do with partners when they done pissed you off and all you want to do is just light the bed on fire.
Did you light his bed on fire?
I didn't.
Okay, she did something worse, I think.
Did you do something worse?
Wink at me. You did something worse? Oh, she winked. Y'all, I know you did some crazy shit. Tell me after the show. Okay, but healed Alicia is having these conversations that it's literally healing people. I didn't. Yeah. Okay, so when I started my podcast way back when, didn't know shit about podcasting. Not only did I not know anything about podcasting, I had never listened to a podcast. Someone had interviewed me and I'm like, oh, this is cool. I would like to start doing this. And then I started a podcast.
Love that.
I did not realize, though, that people really be listening to these podcasts.
Really? In real
life. For some people, they don't watch TV. No. They not listening to the radio. Like, they are really
podcast.
They're podcasting. Mm-hmm. And so the impact that we're able to have on people just having these microphones is, like, mind-blowing, because you don't have to have a bunch of followers. You don't have to be an influencer. Like, all you got to have is a voice, an opinion, and some mission to actually help people, and you can literally save a life, save a marriage, or help someone save themselves from a marriage. So I love that. Tell us some more uncomfortable conversations you're having.
Ooh, one of our latest uncomfortable conversation was about a woman who, you know, is married, and has been married for quite some time and is now deciding, what does the next part of my life look like?
Not being married or figuring that out.
Figuring it out with kids, still being friends with the person who you have promised a lifetime with, and understanding that sometimes a lifetime is 10 years. Sometimes a lifetime is 5 years. Sometimes our lifetime is no years. It's deciding, you know, what that looks like and being okay.
I know my husband watching this, don't you? Our lifetime is the life.
Death, okay? Death do y'all part. Don't play with her.
Don't play.
I have a feeling.
I got to get Coco. Mine going to be Coco. Come my on, lower okay. self, baby.
Coco.
Don't play with it.
Go ahead.
Don't play with it. Go ahead. But it's having a conversation around, too, what does it look like to be okay with saying, I want to be taken care of as a woman? That I refuse to do 50-50. And for all the men who try and date me, I refuse to do 50-50. It is not something that I subscribe to.
You don't subscribe to that.
I am not okay with it. I'm a woman. I was
Do you take men on dates?
Fuck no.
Not ever. Not, I mean, I don't mean like in the dating phase. I mean, like, if this is your man, you'll take him on a date, right?
Listen, I am very good to my men. Okay. I mean, very good to my men. I've taken my men on like all expense paid vacations to Cabo.
Okay.
Like, I treat my men very well. But when you're dating me, oh, I'm a Southern woman. You're going to court me. And I'm not going to feel bad about it. You're going to court me. You're going to make me feel like I am just the best thing since sliced bread. Hell, I'm going on a date this Saturday with a young man who he's taking me to the chiropractor because my back hurt real bad. And then we're going to get
practical dates.
Listen, and then we're going to get massages afterwards. I love that for us.
So let's just go ahead and get into it. I have here all the men. So I had a question here about the fact that you are successful. You're a successful mother who's a single woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you are not letting that slow you down.
Absolutely not.
So that, I think, is an inspiration and gives some hope for people who feel like, I got to wait until my child does X, Y, and Z. I got to wait until... What does that look like?
Ooh.
But your child is 12. So
she's 12, but I've been dating since, be clear, I've been dating
since
I got separated from my ex-husband.
And how old was she, girl?
2.
Okay.
10 years.
All right.
And now, in my defense,
was it different, though, dating when she's 2 and dating when she's 12, or no?
So when I was dating when she was 2, I was broken.
Okay.
I mean, I was the person who I tell people not to date now. Like, I tell people don't date broken people. I was that. I'm sorry to all the men I dated when I was broken.
Was Lola dating?
That was Lola. Okay. I'm sorry. It was Lola. I should probably send gifts.
You know.
For apologies.
Healed. Your healed evolved.
Listen, the healed me is much better. Lola, when I was dating y'all, some of y'all, But no, so for me, it's allowing my village to let me still be a woman. Just because you become a mother doesn't mean you're no longer a woman. You are still a woman. You still have needs. And I'm not just talking about sexual needs. But you still need to be held. You still need to be loved on. You still need to...
Wait a minute. Is the village the man?
No.
Oh, I was like, wait, where are you going with this?
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The village are the friends and the family who I allow to watch her so that I can still be a woman.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. I was like, we really about to get into a real conversation if the village is the men. But okay.
No. Although now, but that's neither here nor there. One of my village members is picking up my daughter now. Thank you so much. Shout out to you, Seth.
You know.
But no, so for me, it was allowing my village to, hey, watch my child for me. I'm going to go on this 3-day vacation with somebody's son. I'm going to check in with you guys while I'm gone. And I'm also going to make sure that I provide for my needs, because I am not willing, and I'm not one of those mothers, shout out to you if that's you, but I'm not one of those mothers who's willing to pretend as if my life does not matter because I brought a human into the world. My life still matters. I still have value. I still am a woman with very real needs. And I am going to nurture and honor my needs, because then I can show up as a much better mother when my needs are provided for and when I'm satisfied. I'm a bitch when I'm not.
That's the thing. That's why a lot of our mothers were unhappy, because they weren't. You know, we have the privilege these days. I think it's because we have access and we're seeing other people do things differently. We're like, wait a minute. Somebody's going to see this and see you. And they're like, wait a minute. I don't have to be miserable. No. I don't have to just be a mother. So because we're having these conversations, because we have access to the internet, because we have, you know, real people, even though it's not always reality, but real people on TV that are showing us different ways to do things, we can see, okay, I don't have to just do what I saw growing up. Exactly. Our parents didn't have access to that. So a lot of them were miserable.
Miserable.
Which, being raised by a miserable mother, is
traumatizing.
It's traumatizing. We be talking about these daddy issues, but baby.
Mommies?
These mamas is out here ruining lives. They are.
Ruining. Have you met a man with mommy issues?
Have you met a woman with mama issues?
They are the worst. They're mean. They're cruel.
It's
they're
me.
Nasty.
I'm in therapy right now, y'all.
But I'm not saying you mean or cruel.
No. I'm in therapy. I'm healed. I'm working through it.
Hallelujah.
But that's the thing. A lot of times I think we don't want to admit it. We see our moms as just our mom sitting up on this pedestal and not realizing she is a woman.
She's a human,
right? She was dealing. I mean, I've had these conversations even before therapy with myself about
what my mother was going through that made her who she was, yeah. that reflected back on how she, you know, like mm-hmm. I have had those conversations. Most of us don't have those conversations. We mm-hmm. either don't recognize what it really is. We're not yep. willing to. We don't yeah. want to play, you know, the blame game. Mm-hmm. And it's not even about blame. It's really about self-awareness yes. and knowing how you became who you are so that your yeah. kids don't just become who they are because you're doing the same thing.
Yeah. And two, we have to realize and recognize, can you imagine the types of trauma? Like, my mother was molested, and I'm telling her story because she tells it all the time, so I'm not just telling her business, but she was molested by her uncles from 8 to 14.
Oh, that's a long time.
Every sexual experience you can think to have as a grown person, she had had by her family members.
She told you that?
And she never, yeah, we speak very candidly.
Wow.
And she never went to therapy because therapy was not a thing. She still won't go to therapy. So can you imagine what it's like growing up with a mother that traumatized? My father was not allowed to hug us. My father, we were not allowed to sit on his lap. Like, there were so many things that we weren't allowed to do.
And because of her experience.
Because of her experience. So then here I come needing a daddy. I mean, needing a daddy. And my dad not being able to be a dad because of all of her requirements and the things that she had gone through. So hell yeah, I sought it out in men. Oh, I was going to get some fatherly
somebody
love.
Somebody going to give me some hugs and some affection.
Listen.
You know,
and
that's so a thing.
I had to forgive my mother because a lot of the choices and the decisions that I had made was because I wanted a daddy so bad.
Had a daddy. He just couldn't be.
He couldn't. I feel like he tried and he wanted to so bad, but he couldn't. And he didn't know how to say, hey, this is my household. This is how it's going to be ran. Like,
that's deep.
It just, they were two very traumatized people raising four kids, being impoverished, not making a lot of money, being in a pseudo cult. Like, it was
Can we talk about the cult?
Man, bruh.
Can we talk about it?
I mean, I'm an open book. I don't give a shit.
Well, tell us about the cult then.
I grew up extremely religious. I wasn't allowed to wear pants. I wasn't allowed to date. I'd never been to a high school dance. I've never been to a high school prom. I had never been to.
Why? What was the what was the foundation of? What was the belief behind these things?
The belief was just that it wasn't of God. Like, we had years long revivals where we would be in church every single night. I went to church every day from the time I was born until I was 18. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Wednesday at noon, Thursday at noon, Thursday at 5, Friday at noon, Saturday at 8 p.m. Every night for 18 years.
Did you go to school at the church? Because
yes.
That's schedule.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was, people ask me all the time, how are you so well adjusted? Therapy, bitch. Like, therapy. I've gone through years of therapy to work myself. It's why I don't do religion now. I've had enough church.
They wasn't just reading the regular Bible though, huh? What
no,
was they
that
doing?
Was the regular Bible. I can quote you scripture after scripture. I can tell
why
you.
Why did you need to read it twice a day? I'm really trying to figure out, like, what were y'all doing twice a day?
Singing
what was happening?
Songs. Like, it was
like a regular church service. It was just twice a day?
It was a regular church service. It's just 12 noon was a shorter service. We'd sing, we'd read the Bible, we'd pray. And so here's the thing. I am so grateful for every single one of my experiences, including mm-hmm. that one, because it taught me, A, that humans be humaning, right? So I have a lot of grace. Even though Lola be trying to rear her head, I have a lot of grace for the human experience because I understand it from a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And also, even though I don't do religion at all, miss me with your church services.
You said that in all caps.
At all. I don't do religion at all. I still love God, and I really do enjoy the lessons that come from the Bible, and I understand why it's necessary for some people. And also, I'm good, love, and joy.
Wow. Girl, let me say it again. I need to change the name of this episode. Multifaceted in all of the ways. Your you are just such an amazing person. I feel that. Not even I think that. Like, you are such an amazing person. But to have overcome all of these things and to be able to use them to draw strength from and then be like a light for other people, that's like amazing. I mean, really. Like, if I had some flowers, I would just hand them to you right now because
I'll probably cry.
Don't cry. Don't cry.
I'm not.
Don't cry.
Not
but seriously.
Or the lashes.
That's big.
It's been a lot. But so here too, like if you think of like all the people in the Bible who God chose, right?
I don't know the Bible that well. So don't name those specifics.
I won't go specific.
Okay.
But what I will say is every single person who God chose had an even bigger impediment, right? They all had something, which is why when people look at preachers and like, oh, well, he's a preacher, he shouldn't be. No. All preachers have a great impediment. Like I need you to just know, like, it's probably some of
something's
those.
Something's coming with it.
Listen, it's something coming with it, because especially those who are really, really, like, effective in their ability to help transform lives. Oh, they got some shit that they've either dealt with or currently dealing with. Why? Because you cannot help someone through their mess if you do not know what it feels like to get dirty. I can't see you and have compassion for you if I know I haven't had some shit that I've had to overcome,
mm-hmm.
or some shit that I've done that I knew I wasn't supposed to do that could and should probably have gotten me into a lot of trouble. I can't be compassionate to someone if I cannot see how they are having a human experience and trying their best to figure it out. So every person, especially leaders, even if they're not in the church, great leaders, orators, all of them have something major that they have to deal with, because how can you help someone else out of their mess if you don't know what it feels like to get dirty?
I don't even know what else to say, guys. I mean... This conversation went so many places that I just love you.
I love you too.
You are just, I mean, I knew you was everything. Seriously.
Because normally people only talk
and
to
I
me
knew
about
bits
business.
And pieces of, well, we didn't have some conversations.
Yes, yes.
So I know some things.
Listen.
But to know all of the things about the things, it's like, yeah. Wow. And we got to like have another offline conversation because, you know, I just want to give you a hug and just be like, girl. Stop playing. You are bomb.
It's been a lot.
All the way around. Yeah. Just know that.
Thank you.
You are.
I feel like that's why God didn't allow me to take my life. Because I had planned to take my life. January 2013, I was going to drive my car off the expressway overpass coming from Fort Lauderdale to Miami. I'm a planner. I am a planner. I was a project manager when I worked in the second part of my corporate America career. Not the McDonald's one, the one after that. But no, so I was a project manager. So my entire everything was to get projects from start to finish, from ideation to execution. Like that was all I did. And so I knew, hey, it's $500,000 life insurance policy on my life right now. They would never think anything if I died in a car accident, because I had totaled at that point like five or six cars. Don't judge my ability to drive. I drive real good now, okay?
Do you?
I've had no accidents.
We do not believe it now.
I've had no car accidents, y'all, in the last 10 plus years.
What were you doing?
Remember I told you I got ADD?
Okay.
So when I be driving, I be thinking other things, I be doing other things, and then I'll make a move without looking for used to. I don't do that no more, y'all. I promise.
We're going to meet everywhere we go.
I promise. I drive better there. Now.
I'll meet you there.
But no, so I was like, okay, if I take my life driving, nobody will ever think anything. I had created a living will. So who would be the executor of the account once the money was dispersed? How it would go, when I wanted the monies to be distributed to my daughter, 50% immediately so that it can cover her private school, split that in half, 125, 125, 125 when she's 18, 125 when she's 21 to help her build her businesses or whatever it is that she needed to do, go to college or whatever. I had thought it out, planned it out. January 2013, I went home December 2012 because my life on the outside looked great. Like, I grew up in, you know, a pseudo cult, but we were very musical. Like music was a thing for us. So I was always in musical theater. And so I knew that you don't let your front of the house know what's going on in your back of the house, right? On the outside, I looked great. I had a husband at the time who was fine as frog hair. I mean, the man is gorgeous, brilliant man. He's still brilliant, super smart. We had just built a new home. We drove luxury vehicles. I had just gotten promoted, like 3 promotions in 1 year. I'm young as hell, making like $90,000 a year in Florida. Like, I'm like 25. Listen,
that's
90,000.
Like $200,000 in Florida. Yeah,
that's a whole lot of money in that motherfucker at the time. I mean, you know, now I'd be like, God damn, what am I supposed to do with this? But back then, it's a lot of money. So on the outside, things looked great. I had a new baby. She's brilliant. She's smart. She was speaking at age 1, like full sentences. Looked great. On the inside and behind the scene, miserable. Ex-husband, mean. He's abusive. I'm dealing with all of the turmoil, all of the things that happen when you do grow up with such a low self-esteem and you don't have any love or care for yourself, and you're expecting this person to love you more or better than you love your own self. No, he loved me how I loved myself. I treated myself poorly, so he was simply a mirror reflection of how I felt about me, which is why I don't fault him for our experience. I chose someone who treated me the way I felt about me. I hated me, so I chose someone who hated me too. That's not on him. That's on me. And that's also, too, why I believe in personal accountability. I give two shits about what anybody else did. What did I do? How did I contribute to it? And how did I allow them so close into my space that they were able to affect me in this way? Doesn't mean I'm wrong. It doesn't mean they're wrong, even though, yes, there are some very wrong things. But it means that what I have done is taken accountability for, okay, this is how I can make sure I change things for future, which is why also I date a lot now. Because for me, it's I want to get super clear on what is it that I truly like and how do I want to be treated and what does that look like in real life? Because it's easy to say, oh, these are my requirements and this is what I want and this is how it is. But baby,
when you meet that, listen, is it what you thought it was going
to
be?
So for me, when I went home to tell my mother goodbye, because I knew she had lost her mind when her first child had died, I wanted to make sure I left her with some really great memories of me. So I did all the things that she loved and I hated. I went to church every night with her. She was still going to church a lot back then. I went to church every night with her. I went to the thrift store, and I hated the thrift store because of how I grew up. So I went to the thrift store. I was doing all the things with her. And on one of the nights that I went to the church service, there was a young woman there. Her name was Naomi. I will forever be appreciative to Naomi. She looked on the outside how I felt on the inside. I felt like walking death. She looked like walking death. And this is no disrespect to her. It is how she looked. She was a foster kid who had aged out of foster care. She was going through so much turmoil. She had a brace on her arm because her man had thrown her through glass. Like, she was going through it. She is why I created the program for the first company that I built, the nonprofit. And so for me, when I met Naomi, it was introducing me to the part of myself that I didn't know I was missing, which is why I wanted to take my life, which was purpose. We all are born for and with purpose. And I don't believe that we all can't ever find it. You can find it and discover it. It just takes you deciding that you will stop playing and entertaining your own bullshit and truly tap into who am I? Mm-hmm. When I met Naomi and I saw how she looked and how I felt, me helping her helped me to discover who I was. And so, yeah, that's how we got here.
Shout out to Naomi.
I'm so grateful for her forever and always. She saved my life. Her and purpose saved my life.
Y'all got to tune into her podcast because she done brought the therapeutic into my podcast. And we won't even be doing that over here. So I know that y'all have enjoyed this conversation. And I know they don't want it to end. I don't want it to end, but they don't have to because I know you in real life. But tell the people, where can they get more of you? Because I know they want it.
Listen, you can find me all over Beyonce's internet at Alicia Reese, and it's spelled A-L-E-C-H-I-A, last name Reese, R-E-E-S-E. You can also connect with me, tribe.gotvaluenation.com, all the places and spaces. I look forward to, you know, communing with y'all there.
And Triggered AF.
Yes, Triggered AF, the podcast. Subscribe to us. We have some really dope ass, you know, conversations over there. And don't worry, I have already put Coryell on our list.
I was gonna say, girl, I was gonna get on that list one way or another.
You already on it. Listen,
thank you.
For season 5, because we're gonna be doing all the in-person interviews. So
okay.
We'll be coming to Atlanta, so don't you worry. We will definitely be having you on the podcast.
You gonna try to make me cry? What are we gonna talk about?
Listen, all the things. We don't always cry on there.
Okay.
We be ratchet and real too. Okay. Now listen.
Okay. As long as I can get with
you. We're multifaceted. We could do it all.
You are multifaceted because you be doing the thing. I appreciate you.
Y'all,
my notes, if y'all would see my notes, it ain't nothing like what we talked about, which is what I love and appreciate, because who cares about this? It's like what comes up is what is meant to be. And I know, just like Naomi saved somebody, I know this conversation saved somebody. So I love you.
I
appreciate
you.
Y'all, bye. I mean, I'll see you. Thank y'all for tuning in. Follow my girl. She's dope in real life.
Dope in real life.
See you on the next episode. Peace.
Girl, give me a hug. I hope you enjoyed that video. This channel is all about encouraging you to stop playing with your potential and start working for what you want in life and in love. So make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you'll be notified when the next video drops. And comment below and let me know what you want to see on the next video. Peace out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.